This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Riyad Razazi, welcome you to the stories of the prophets. And today we are with episode number 18. Just give a minute for more people to join, inshallah ta'ala. Episode number 18 of the stories of the prophets. I hope you all doing great, inshallah. Got Facebook here, got Instagram. I hope everyone is doing all right. Things are getting better, alhamdulillah. Things are getting more leaner now. There's less restrictions. But stay safe, inshallah. Although there's less restrictions, but always stay safe. All right, so we are with episode number 18 from the stories of the prophets. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we will continue with the story of Ishaq and Yaqub. And then we will move to another amazing story, all from the progeny of the same prophets. The family of the same prophets. Alright? So this will be an interesting session, inshallah. And again, welcome Facebook. Welcome Instagram. Alright. Let's start. Yalla bismillah. Let us start. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi. Again, welcoming you to the stories of the prophets. Session number 18, episode number 18. Last Friday, we were talking about the story of Lot, alayhi salam, and we finished with the story of Lot, alayhi salam. As I said, Lot was from the family of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, right? He even witnessed when Ibrahim, alayhi salam, when they tried to throw him into the fire, but Allah Azza wa Jalla sent him his own mission, and he went back to the Qabila, the tribe of Sadum, and all those people that that were dealing with some immoral action, something that, you know, they were indulging with some immoral sin that has never been done or has never been known on earth, and how Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, took care of them. After that, my brothers and sisters, what happened was that Lot went back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Ibrahim alayhi salam already knew the story of Lot, because if you remember, the three angels before they went to Lot, they went to Ibrahim alayhi salam. There were three angels. They went to Lot. Here is a trivia question for all of you. A trivia question: who are the three prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down to Ibrahim, which they eventually went to Lot alayhi salam? The names of the three angels that were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guests of Ibrahim, as Allah Azza wa Jalla called them in the Quran, Daifi Ibrahim, Daif, the guests of Ibrahim. There were three angels that came in the form of man. Who are those three angels that came in the form of man? They were sent out to Ibrahim, and then they went to Lot alayhi salam, you know, to destroy the people of, or the Sadum, the people of Sadum, Qawm al-Sadum, the people who used to indulge in sodomity, or some, who, I don't, not getting any answer. Well, I said three angels. Give me the name of the three angels. Some are giving me one angel, some are giving me two angels. You know, everybody's saying Jibreel. Okay, well, Jibreel is the main man. Not man, the main Jibreel, Sayyid al-Malaika, right? Jibreel, Sayyid al-Malaika. So we have Jibreel. طيب, but I need three angels. Yeah, they did not eat meat, but who are they? I need names. Come on. Morkane, come on. I said three angels. I did not say one angel. I said three angels. Go back and listen to my lecture when it's done, inshallah. All right? I said three angels. They were sent to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then they were sent to they were sent to Lot. Three, I don't know, man. I don't know. Three, you giving me one or you giving me two? You know. All right, you know what? I'll give you the names. Israfil, people are still keeping me, giving me one, and I don't understand. And some are giving me two. Some are giving me two. I said three. I keep saying three, 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 three. Please, you know, we're gonna inshallah, promise me once this is done, go back and listen to my and listen to the lecture again. So it is Israfil, it is Mikael, and it is Jibril. Israfil, Mikael, and Jibril. These are the three angels that were sent down but I said Jibril, you know, there were these three angels that were sent to as guests to Ibrahim alayhi salam. But remember, they were sent to Lot. And then I said with Jibril, who lift up, you know, the Qabila, you know, that Qabila, the whole Qabila. It was Jibril alayhi salam, but there were two other angels with him. You know, there were three people, there were three angels that came in the form of man. Daif Ibrahim. There were three angels that came in the form of men, you know, and they were sent out to Lot alayhi salam. So at any rate, Israfil, Mikael, and Jibril. Israfil, Mikael, and Jibril. Those they were sent to Ibrahim alayhi salam initially, where Ibrahim alayhi salam went and he slaughtered this goat for them, or this calf, you know, roasted calf for them, and he brought it to them. But they did not, you know, they refrained from eating. You know, the story which I mentioned, they refrained from eating, and Ibrahim got scared, and they said, you know, not to be scared, because they were angels, and they were sent to destroy the people of Lot, and as his wife, who's old, she was sitting back, and they gave him the glad tidings of a son by the name of Ishaq. And then when his wife, she laughed in amazement, you know, how can I give birth to a child, whereas I'm an old woman, old barren woman, and my husband is old sheikh, وبعلي شيخ كبير, you know, عجوز, he's an old sheikh. And they said, how can you be amazed of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When Allah ordains something, all he has to do is be, and it is. So these are the three angels that were sent to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, Allah azza wa jal, you know, after so many years, you know, Sarah alayhi salam, she gave birth. Sarah alayhi salam, she gave birth to a son by the name of Ishaq, or Isaac, Ishaq, you know, who is younger than Ismail. Ismail is the son of Hajar, who was born in Al-Hijaz. He was born in Hijaz, the Arab Peninsula. But with regard to Sarah, they were in Palestine, where Ibrahim alayhi salam, after he, you know, dropped his family in the Arab Peninsula, he went back to Palestine to Sarah alayhi salam. And then these angels, they came, and then they gave him that glad tidings of a new, you know, of a new baby by the name of Ishaq. Ishaq, Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi, is one of the historians, one of the tafasir, mufassirin, the one who, you know, made tafsir of the Quran, wrote tafsir of the Quran. He mentions that Ishaq married a lady by the name, when he grew up, he married a lady by the name of Rebecca. This is from the Israeliyat, by the way. This is not in our books nor in the Ahadith. This is coming from the Israeli, you know, narrations, the Kutub al-Israeliyat or Ahadith Israeliyat, where the Prophet says, we do not believe them and we do not believe them. يعني, meaning we don't believe in them and we don't disbelieve in them. So there are stories. We don't believe in their authenticity, nor we disbelieve in their authenticity. Yani some could be true and some could be, you know, non-true. Wallahu a'lam. So he married a lady by the name of Rebecca. Right? He lived with his dad there and with his mom, you know. And then his dad, remember, his dad, he's a traveler. You know, he travels back to Hijaz to stay with Hajar and her son Ismail. You know, and they were doing stuff, but, you know, and after some time, and of course, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam will die, but Ismail will reside there in the Arab Peninsula, but Ishaq will be, you know, will live in the with his mom and his with his mom and his brother. Not his brother, with his wife. I'm sorry, with his wife in and mom and mother in Palestine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him birth, or gave him gave birth to set of twins, to Ishaq. He gave birth to set of twins by the name of Al-Ais and Jacob, Ya'qub. In Arabic we call it Ya'qub, in English it's called Jacob, right? And Al-Ais. Al-Ais was older, or Esau's in English, I believe. And Al-Ais. Al-Ais is older than Ya'qub, than Jacob. And it's been mentioned in this Israeliyat that that Ishaq used to favor Jacob over Al-Ais. Again, there's a lot of stories even in this Israeliyat saying that Sarah, she used to get jealous of Hajar, so she asked Ibrahim to move out and to get her own accommodation, and this is why they stayed in Palestine. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, he went to and took Hajar alayhi salam to Hijaz. But these are just stories from this Israeliyat that we don't believe nor disbelieve in them at any rate. But anyways, he settled with his father Ishaq in what they call Hebron in Palestine. By the way, Ishaq, he lived to be, he lived to be 180 years old. Those people, they used to live very, very long, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he had that baby, he was over 70 years old. They said in some narrations, 75 years old. So Ishaq, it's been said that he lived to be 180 years old. Alayhi salam. But anyways, he lived with his father Ya'qub, and what we say Ya'qub, from his progeny came, Ya'qub means Israel, by the way. Jacob means Israel. This is why we say Banu Israel. Banu Israel are the children of Israel, who is Ya'qub. Right? So I think now it becomes more clear to us, because a lot of people sometimes they don't understand. What is Banu Israel, the children of Israel? Israel, is it Israel? Is it like the country Israel? Israel is actually the name of Ya'qub, Jacob. His name actually is Israel or Ya'qub, right? So Banu Israel, the children of Israel, the children of Ya'qub. He lived in what they call Hebron in Palestine. Before the father died, Ishaq, Al-Ais, he disliked, like I said, the fact that his father used to favor Ya'qub. So fearing for his life, he threatened to kill. And because now Al-Ais threatened to kill Ya'qub. Al-Ais, according to the Israeli stories, Al-Ais, the older son, he threatened to kill the younger son. He threatened to kill Ya'qub. So Ya'qub, he fled the country to the land of Asham, Haran, or Haran, right? So Ya'qub, he, after fearing his brother, he left, right? He left and fled the country, and he lived in Haran or Asham, Syria, it's the Syria area. And he married two sisters. Who is this again? Ya'qub. He married two sisters. He married Rachel and he married Leah. This is not in the Ahadith, or Ahadith from the Prophet ﷺ. These are from the Israeliyat, because these names, we don't know them. We don't have them. They come from the Israeliyat. He married, according to the Old Testament, he married Rachel and he married Leah, and he worked for his uncle for 20 years. This is all according to Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Ya'qub with many children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Jacob or Israel or Yaqub with many children. And one of those children will be Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam. Al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim. Right? What's al-Karim? Al-Karim, يعني the honorable one, the generous. Yusuf, the son of Yaqub, the son of Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yusuf, the son of Yaqub, the son of Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim. Al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim. You see, he's the from the progeny of three other, you know, different prophets. So he's a prophet, the son of a prophet, Yaqub, the son of a prophet, Ishaq, the son of a prophet, Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, so Yaqub gave, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with a lot of children. And from his children came, you know, Yusuf alayhi salam. So this is, in a nutshell, the story of Yaqub and Ishaq. Yani Ishaq, mostly Ishaq. But we're going to go with Yaqub. Yaqub has an interesting story. Yaqub has an interesting story. And that story includes another prophet, which is Yusuf alayhi salam. You know, and one of the most amazing stories, subhanAllah, in the Quran. The story of Yaqub and the story of Yusuf and, you know, and his children and his brothers. Or the story of Yaqub and his children, you may call it that. So inshallah ta'ala, we will go and learn a little bit about the story. In fact, we will live with this story for some time. The story of Yaqub and his children. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf, my brothers and sisters, was mentioned in the Quran 27 times. Yusuf mentioned in the Quran 27 times. Surat Yusuf. Surat Yusuf in the Quran has been revealed in what they call the year of sadness, Surat Yusuf. I'm not going to talk too much about Yusuf today. I'm going to just go on an introduction about Yusuf alayhi salam. Such an amazing, amazing story. As I gave you a little bit of a preview or a summary of what happened to, you know, when Ibrahim settled with his wife in Sarah, you know, and Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with Ishaq, and then Ishaq, you know, gave birth to Yaqub and Al-Ais, and then that conflict that happened between Yaqub and Al-Ais, and then Allah, you know, and then Yaqub moved out and he lived in Haran and Allah and Sham, and then you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with many children, and one of them would be Yusuf, or he's Yusuf alayhi salam. So this is in a nutshell the story of Ishaq. But then Yaqub, like I said, has an amazing story. And the story involves, you know, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, who's Yusuf is, you know, subhanAllah, is the youngest at the time. And then we'll have another younger, you know, brother by the name of Binyamin. But let's talk about a little bit here, an intro, because the story of Yusuf, it may take me, you know, for many, 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 you know, subhanAllah, I would say many sessions. The story of Yusuf will take me many sessions. The story of Yusuf was revealed in Mecca, and it is, as I said, revealed in what they call the year of sadness. The year of sadness. Why is it called the year of sadness? Because it was revealed after Khadija passed away, after Abu Talib passed away. It is called the year of Ibtila. You know, the year of trial. It was many trials. Prophet Muhammad went through many trials, many tribulations, and it is called the year of sadness because these are the two most people who used to defend and support Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. These are the two most people who used to defend and support him. So these two people, they died one after another. You know, Khadija alayhi salam, Khadija radiallahu anha wardaha, Khadija radiallahu anha wardaha, and Abu Talib. You know, they both died. So subhanAllah, Prophet Muhammad was really heartbroken. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surat Yusuf. And you will see as Surat Yusuf has so many, you know, it relates a lot to the story, to the life of the Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام, and Allah عز وجل wanted to teach Prophet Muhammad so many lessons from the story of Yusuf to mend his heart. To mend his heart. The scholars, they say, whosoever is going through any difficulties, whoever is going through any hardship, let them read Surah Yusuf. If they were to read Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will alleviate their sadness. Surah Yusuf, my brothers and sisters, if you were to read it as if you are watching a movie, and then as soon as you finish it, maybe, and you want to go back and read it again, you feel like you've never read it before. You feel like you don't know it. You know, every time you go and read Surah Yusuf, you feel like you don't know the story. Although you know it, you've heard it, you've recited it many times, and you know what's going to happen. But you go back and as if you're watching, and then you don't get tired by watching that movie over and over and over, right? So, Surah Yusuf alayhi salam. And also, as if Allah Azza wa Jal is telling Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, you're having problems, you're having difficulties. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Your own family has deserted you. You know, your people have kicked you out from Mecca. Your people are trying to, you know, all these things that are happening to you. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Somewhat similar to what, you know, what is happening to you, O Muhammad. And learn from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. There's so many stories. So, Qissat Yusuf. Qissat Yusuf, the story of Yusuf, my brothers and sisters, are for those who are oppressed. If you are oppressed, read Surah Yusuf. If you are sad, read Surah Yusuf. Those who feel lonely, those who feel lonely, read Surah Yusuf. Loneliness, sadness, oppression, transgression, deception, you know, whatever, all these that you're going through, anybody who's going through this, you know, signs or difficulties, read Surah Yusuf. It is a message for those, you know, who are going through difficulties in their lives. People deceive them, you know, accuse them or falsely accuse them. They were transgressed and oppressed. People who are sad, people who are lonely, you know, you will find the likeliness, subhanAllah, in Surah Yunus, and you will find some keys in Surah Yunus alayhi salam. It is a story or a message for, let's say a boy. How can we relate to Yusuf? It is a story for, let's say, a boy who started practicing Islam, let's say. Somebody started practicing Islam and is going through ada. What's ada in Arabic? Ada means, you know, he's going through some sort of, not only difficulties, but his family, his friends, his own brothers or sisters are giving him hard time, are really causing him a lot of pain, right? You know, so that Yusuf, you will find, you know, and something, you know, that you can relate to, you know, from that story. A story of maybe a young girl who was trying to, again, maybe with hijab, or was trying to become savvy in the deen. A young girl who's trying to, mashallah, educate herself in Islam, or who's trying to, alhamdulillah, you know, follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as she chose to start wearing hijab, she's having difficulties and bad treatment, mistreatment from her own family. From her own, you know, brothers and sisters and friends. You know, you will find something similar in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. So let us, you know, take note Take notes, brothers and sisters. Take a pen and paper handy, because, you know, let us, I will summarize about 10 hardships. It's a story filled with hardships. Story of Yusuf, story filled with hardships. Altogether, I counted about 10 hardships. 10 types of hardships. All right? So let us, inshallah ta'ala, you know, let me mention it. I'll recite them to you. I'll mention them to you. And then you can maybe take some notes, inshallah ta'ala, because I will test you on this. Right? I will test you on this, hardships. The first hardship that we can find, or that we can learn from Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, is the hardship, you know, something called hatred. Hatred. You know, what kind of hatred? He was hated by his own brothers. That's hardship in itself. And they plotted things against him. They had envy, hasad. They were sick. They had envy. You know, so it's not only hatred and envy. Hatred and envy from who? From his own brothers. So that's a hardship in itself. Look how many hardships Yusuf alayhi salam had to deal with. Subhanallah. If a man today, you know, a boy, you know, today in the age of Yusuf was to go through what Yusuf has gone through, a person like that would grow up with a complex. Really with a complex, with some problems in his or her mind. But look what Yusuf had to go through. I counted altogether about 10 types of hardships Yusuf had to go through, alayhi salam. The first hardship is the hardship called hatred, animosity, or also plotting and hasad, envy, all by his own brothers. Number two, he had to leave. Here's another hardship. He had to leave his family. And historians, they say he was only 12 years old. He was 12 years old when he was thrown into the pit. Into that well. It's not a well, actually. It's not a well. A well in Arabic is bi'r. But he was not thrown into the bi'r. You know, in English, subhanAllah, they just say well. But in Arabic, there is a difference between bi'r and yam. فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْيَمْ. What is the difference between bi'r and yam? Bi'r is a well, but you can still see the depth of it. You can see the depth of it. Al-yam is so deep, you cannot even see the depth of it. Al-yam is deeper than al-bi'r. Al-yam is deeper than al-bi'r. And in English, when you read the Quran, they say it's the well. They throw him into the well. But it is not a well. It is not the well that they threw him in. It is al-yam, which is deeper and scarier and darker. And darker and scarier. Right? So they threw him into the yam. He left his family. He was only 12 years old when he got kicked out. So here's another hardship. Two. Hardship number three. He was thrown into the yam. Thrown into the pit. Another hardship. He had to live there for some time. You know, some of you have been into the desert. Those who have been into the desert is so cold at night. It's so cold at night and very, very hot during the day. Right? Very cold at night and very hot during the day. And this boy, 12 years old, they had to strip him off first. They had to take off his shirt. Right? Because they took his shirt with them to their father. We will talk about that story of the shirt. So he's shirtless, thrown into this you know, pit in the desert, in the middle of nowhere, there in the darkness of the night of the desert, in the cold of the night of the desert. That's another hardship in itself. Another hardship right there. So the hardship number one of hatred and envy from his brothers, the hardship of leaving and being secluded from his parents, right? That's the hardship number two. Hardship number three, being thrown into the pit. Hardship number four, slavery. Slavery. What's slavery? Al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, he will become a slave. The prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet will become a slave. That's another point. That's another, you know, hardship in itself. That's another trial in itself. Yes, he will become a slave and he will become a servant in the palace of Al-Aziz. He's a servant, so he's a slave. And then, you know, that's another hardship in itself. Another hardship, brothers and sisters, the hardship of lust and temptation. The hardship of lust and temptation. By whom? By whom? Fitnat al-Nisa, the temptation of women. The temptation of women, the temptation of the wife of Al-Aziz and the other wives or the other women, those that will cut their hands. Everybody wanted to have a piece of Yusuf. And Yusuf alayhi salam, he is so beautiful and so handsome. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that beauty is split in two halves, one half given to Yusuf alone. Right? One half given to Yusuf alone. So that's another trial, that's another hardship, the hardship of women that he had to deal with. Right? The hardship of women that he had to deal with. So how many hardships have I mentioned so far, sisters and brothers? Yalla, Muhammad, Uthman, and Shida, Hanifa, Kiko, Iman, Watercolor, Najwa. How many, Yasin, how many hardships have I mentioned so far? I don't know if you're Shazia. Five, huh? Are you taking notes, by the way? I hope you're taking notes, brothers and sisters. Right? Those of you on Facebook, are you following out there? Right? That's number five. Number six, here's another hardship he had to go through. Number six, another hardship he had to go through. The hardship of prison. The hardship of being thrown in prison. Falsely accused. Right? And he's thrown in prison. Been thrown in prison, you know, and that's another story in itself. And he will stay for the years in prison. He will stay for the years in prison. So that's another hardship. Hardship number six. Hardship number seven, brothers and sisters. Hardship number seven, the hardship of power. Power and prosperity. Is that a hardship? Yes, it is a hardship. It is a hardship. He has power. He's become prosperous. What would he do? Would he avenge himself versus, you know, over his brothers? He has power. He can take revenge. He can take revenge. So that's another hardship he had to go through. Now I have power. Allah Azza wa Jal test you. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal can test you with prosperity, and he can test you when he withholds something from you. You know, testing or trialing is not only when somebody does not have. Subhanallah. Testing and trialing cannot only be when somebody does not have. Testing and trialing someone with something when he has or when she has. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءٌ شَكَرَ وَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءٌ صَبَرَ وَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. The Prophet Muhammad says, how wonderful is the affairs of the believers. When he is hit by something good, he shows gratefulness. And he shows appreciation. And something good will come out off of it for him. And when he is hit by something evil, by something bad, he shows patience. And something good will come out off of it for him. So whether he's faced by something good or whether he's faced by something bad, for the believers, he's always a winner. So not only those who are facing something bad, I know we say that they're going through hardship. Some, those people who also are facing good and prosperity, this is in itself a trial from Allah Azza wa Jalla. A trial whether that person will do good or not do good. Whether that person will show prosperity and show thankfulness and show praise with worthiness to Allah Azza wa Jalla, or that person may quit everything, because like I said, in itself, it's a trial. So power and prosperity was another hardship that Yusuf alayhi salam had to go through. That's number seven. Number eight, mihnat al-afu. Mihnat al-afu, the hardship of forgiveness. The hardship of forgiveness, of pardoning. To pardon is a hardship. Is a hardship, especially when it's done by someone who is very close to you. In this case, his brothers. In this case, his family. Prophet Muhammad, his own family. When he went back to Mecca, and now he has become, or he has had the upper hand. He could have avenged himself and punished those who kicked him out from Quraysh. But what did he do instead? Alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, idhabu fa antumu at-tulaqa. Go, you are all forgiven. You are all forgiven. So forgiveness is a trial in itself. To forgive, it's a hardship in itself. That's number eight. Number nine, another hardship. When you are, you know, when you've been accused in your honor. You can be accused by stealing, accused by committing a crime, killing, you know, accused. But when somebody accuses you in your dignity, in your honor, in your ird, that's the worst type of accusation. When they accuse Prophet Muhammad of his ird, you know, accusing Aisha radiallahu anha wardaha, Aisha of committing adultery. Right? So here they, you know, he was accused in his own honor. That's a hardship in itself. That's a very big hardship for someone to be accused in his chastity. That's number nine. And the last hardship I see with Yusuf alayhi salam, the last hardship is the contradictory hardships. What does that mean, contradictory? Contradictory, yes, contradictory. From one hardship to another. He goes and he's living happily with his family when he was a kid. Taken into the desert, thrown into the pit. So it's like a roller coaster. Right? He's into the pit. From the pit, he goes up and lives in the palace, but still as a servant. And then from the palace, he goes and gone down into the jail, into prison. He goes into prison again, you know. So from one up to another down, from one up into down, and he goes to prison, comes back from prison to becomes the minister. And then minister, now he's ruling, you know, Egypt. He goes through contradictory hardships. This, like I said initially, this type of hardships will cause someone to have some sort of mental problem. Mental problem. You know what mental issues? You know, it's hot, it's cold. It's hot, it's cold. It's hot, it's cold. Up, down, up. You know, when am I going to just live normally like everybody else? Like lead a smooth life? No, there was no smooth life. This is why I said Prophet Muhammad had to learn the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, because he will go through the same ups and downs. A time where he will have nothing to eat except water and dates. For months, he had nothing to eat. From other times where he will be given valleys of sheep and cattle. Alayhi salatu wassalam. So Prophet Muhammad had to, you know, learn about the story of Yusuf to see all these contradictory, you know, hardship that Yusuf alayhi salam had to go through. And how his, you know, he dealt with them. And how Allah azza wa jalla came to his rescue. And at the end, from jail to becoming the minister of Egypt. We're talking about patience here, talking about sabr. Three types of patience that we learn from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. We learn patience with the story of Nuh. We learn patience with the story of Ibrahim. Here we learn the types of patience with the story of Yusuf. With the story of Ibrahim, we learn the key to patience. Here with the story of Yusuf, we learn about the types of patience. Many types. Here we learn mostly three different types of patience. We learn them from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. This is why the story was to happen in and to be revealed in Mecca while Prophet Muhammad was going through that year of sadness where people will be persecuted, where losing their belongings and whatnot. They will see, you know, Yusuf alayhi salam, what he had to go through. His father could have Yaqub, his father could have interpreted the dream for him. He saw a dream and he told his father about the dream. And his father, Yaqub, he's a prophet, he could have interpreted the dream for him. He only told him, don't tell your brothers. Had he told him the dream or the interpretation of the dream, maybe the movie will be over. Maybe the film will be over. Khalas, it's done, it's gone. I know what it all means. But his father wanted to teach him a lesson. What is the lesson that his father Yaqub wanted to teach him? What kind of sabr, what kind of patience is better? The patience when he was thrown into the jail, or the patience when he was going through, you know, the ibtila, the trials. The trial of women, the trial of being thrown into the pit. You know, it's a mihna, it's a trial, or the sijin, or the prison. Which trial is worse than the other? What did his father, you know, try to teach him by not interpreting the dream? Because he came and he told his father first about the dream. Why his father did not interpret the dream for him? His father could have told him, but why he didn't? He wanted to teach him a lesson. What is this lesson? Patience over disobedience. Patience over hardship. Patience over obedience. Which one is higher than the other? He could have committed, astaghfirullah, that and indulged in that sin with the wife of the minister of Egypt. It's a trial. Yet he did not do it. And he had to go to that trial of power. So he has wealth. So he's been patient with that. Patience over obedience. And then patience over ibtila. Patience over, you know, going through trials. So which patience is the best? Which patience is regarded to be, you know, the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which patience is the hardest on the soul? Wow. Really? Yes. There's one patience that's actually, you know, harder than another patience. Which one is harder on the soul? Which one is harder for a being? Patience over obedience, or patience over disobedience, or patience over calamity? Three types of patience. Brothers and sisters, I will stop here. I will stop right here. I will stop right here. So that when we come back, inshallah, learn about these three types of patience. We're going to learn about why super cliffies, why his father did not tell him and did not interpret the dream. Why he did not interpret the dream? He could have just interpreted the dream to save his son. To save his son from jail, to save his son from the pit, from the being thrown into the al-yam, as Allah Azza wa Jalla calls it, al-yam, to save his son from the why. And also in the story of Yusuf, we will give a lesson to the parents, to the fathers. The fathers who sometimes show, you know, favorism. You know, they favor one son over another. Favoring a son over another. This is something that will be hatred in the heart of, you know, the siblings. So my brothers and sisters, we will talk about this all bi-idhnillah. Tomorrow bi-idhnillah, inshallah ta'ala, we will carry on and resume. Brothers, I haven't even started the story, have I? I haven't even started the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Nope, I haven't even started it a bit. I haven't. I've only given you a little preview, a little introduction before I start on the main, the gut of the story, insha'Allah ta'ala. What a beautiful story. Alif Lam Ra. تلك آيات الكتاب المبين نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت 11 كوكبا يا أبت إني رأيت 11 كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. What does shaitan have to do with all this? In the same story, we will learn about the shaitan and we will learn about the shaitan and we will learn about the difference between the plot of shaitan and the plot of the ego. The plot of shaitan and the plot of the ego, the nafs. And nafs, because the wife of the minister of Egypt, she will not blame shaitan, she will blame her ego. What's the difference between the two? There's so many things that we will learn from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, brothers and sisters. So I haven't even started. I just gave you a little intro, a little preview to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And inshallah ta'ala, maybe tomorrow we will start the story, because there's still more stuff that I want to talk about before we inshallah start the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Today I have mentioned 10 hardships. 10 hardships. So I hope you remember them. I hope you took notes, because inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to ask you questions about them bi-idhnillah. Alrighty? Jazakumullah khair for joining. May Allah bless you, sisters and brothers. Those of you on Facebook, thank you, Muhammad Uthman. Thank you, Saadia Khan. Thank you, Shada Ahmed. Thank you, Hanifa, Kiko Leblanc, Bint Ahmed. Thank you, Iman. Thank you, Yashmin, and Watercolor Najwa, and Baraka Hearts. I call you Baraka Hearts, whether it's, I know it's arts, but I call you Baraka Hearts. Thank you for joining. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Sisters and brothers, Facebook, thanks again. Thank you for joining. Coco Murad, thank you for coming. Thank you, Tasneem and Umair and Arif and Zoya. Thank you, Azra. Thank you, Nawal. Thank you all for joining. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, right? And the series, again, it is recorded on Facebook, it is recorded on YouTube, and it is recorded here on Instagram. Those of you who've come in late, sorry, you've come in very late, we're done, but you can always go back and watch the session, it is recorded. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khair, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, assalamu alaikum.